So part one of this podcast was our basics about crypto. I highly recommend you check that out if you don't know much about crypto. But if you know your basics right, this particular episode is going to teach you the more advanced side of things. If you really want to become a multi-millionaire or multi-billionaire using cryptocurrencies, you've got to know this part of the conversation. And of course, there's going to be follow-up podcasts to this one when it comes to the subject of cryptocurrencies. But we have Sumit Gupta once again dishing some intense, advanced cryptocurrency gyan on The Ranveer Show. Sumit bhai, welcome to part two of our The Ranveer Show special on cryptocurrencies. Part one was a cliffhanger in the end. We spoke about the fact that there are dangers to investing in crypto and you should know a little bit about which cryptocurrency to put your money in and how much money. The obvious one is Bitcoin. Everyone knows ki, you know, okay, Bitcoin is where my money should be. But there's so many cryptocurrencies. There's something called Bitcoin Gold. There's something called Ethereum. There's a bunch of other ones as well. I'll actually let the crypto expert speak now. Bro, what is the strategy for an everyday person? Like, what should we be thinking about diversification? Because this whole logic about put your money in multiple places just to be safe. How would you divide your money?
So once you've decided that you want to put money into crypto, right, it's important to understand what are the assets that we should put in. There are 10,000 plus cryptos out there and not all of them are good. What I feel is that most of these projects will fail, right? And if as a retail, if you don't have the neck to identify which are the projects which are going to be successful, can become the Amazon of the future in the world of crypto, it's better to restrict yourself only to the top coins,
which are?
Just like, large caps, limited to large caps, which are Bitcoin, Ethereum.
What do you mean large caps? Like
large caps, like coins which have like high market cap, high market, like they have a long history, they have good network effects, and people trust them.
You need to see the coins that have been around for a while and that lots of other human beings trust in.
Yes.
Don't take a risk when you're investing.
Yeah. So I remember one story. So when I was, new to the internet, there was a website called $1 million homepage. That website used to sell ad space. If you want to buy a 10 by 10 pixel, that's like worth $100, right? And now it's not there anymore. So there are a lot of projects who want to ride the hype and want to make quick money out of that. It's important for you as an investor to restrict yourself only to the projects you really understand. And that's where education comes into picture.
So to a college student who has 10,000 rupees, where would you put his money? If you were his elder brother?
I would ask them to put money only in Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Okay. And what would be the divide, like ratio divide?
I think majority of that can be in Bitcoin. And I personally follow a 3:1 strategy. 3/4 of that is in Bitcoin, 1/4 of that is in Ethereum.
Yeah, I've done the same, but 4:1.
Like, okay, very close.
Same logic that you should put something in Ethereum.
Yes.
If you bank completely on one thing, that's just wrong basic.
You should have an hedge.
Yeah, yeah. Other than Ethereum and Bitcoin, is there anyone you're looking out for and saying that, okay, dekhte hain yahan kya hoga, maybe this can take off?
Sure. There's one token called Basic Attention Token. That's something that I've put my money in. And the simple reason being, so just like we use Chrome browser, this is there's something called Brave browser. Now, okay. Brave browser is a browser which doesn't store your data. So you will not see ads coming onto you, right? You will, if you want to see ads, you will get paid for seeing ads.
Matlab, okay. So basically this is like an app, like how you download Internet Explorer,
exactly
Firefox.
Like Chrome or any other browser.
It's called Brave.
Brave browser, and that is made by the co-founder of Mozilla, Firefox.
Okay.
So that person, when he realized the power of decentralized systems, that person made Brave browser. And with Brave browser, you can browse the internet. Right now, if you see anything, if you enter anything on there, your data is recorded.
Yeah. People know, okay, Sumit thinks like this. He likes football. Let's show him a football-related ad.
Yeah.
But Brave browser is like, I don't want to tell you who is using this website.
It's completely anonymous. Your data is not stored in the system. If you want to earn money by seeing ads, right now what happens is people see ads and it's just the ad platforms who make money, right? And we just give openly our data. That should not be the case. Our data should be with us only.
Yeah, this is a very interesting thing I read on Twitter way back. It's a very common statement in the tech world, but it's something that the average person doesn't understand. They say that if a very good product is free for you, that means you are the product.
Yes.
You are being sold. Like, that means that usually something like Facebook, something like Instagram, something like Google, completely free, of course. Go on it, use it. They'll give you a lot of help in your real life. Great product. But you are the product.
But you are the product.
You are being sold. Because they are taking your data. They are saying, okay, ye search karlo, ye like karlo.
They monetize on your data.
Yeah. And then they go to their clients, which is the brand world. And say that rather than spending money on billboard ads, rather than making big posters of your product, why don't you make small posters in Facebook? And we'll only show to the people who will actually buy your stuff.
Yeah.
That's the logic. So anyway, you're talking about Brave browser and the crypto associated with Brave browser.
Yeah. So that token. So right now, if you look at, it's not some project that is just out there and not doing any real world change. In this, there are 10 million people using that browser on a daily basis. Now imagine the scale. And we are just at the start of the blockchain technology. And we, you know, it has to go a long way. Like, you know, right now where internet is, we have seen the immense power and how we can build products on top of it. Similarly, there will be various decentralized applications on top of these protocols, which will make our data our own, like which will make it super secured. And you will see companies being built on top of these technologies.
Okay. So what is the name of the cryptocurrency you...
Basic Attention Token, BAT.
BAT, B-A-T. Yeah. And your logic of investing in that is, these people are probably going to grow going forward.
Yes, I mean, that is a real, like, real world product which people can use. I personally use Brave Browser because I don't want to give my data to Google.
Got it. So Brave Browser has made another product called BAT, which is a crypto.
That's the token, which is the underlying token which runs this econ. It's a utility token. So what that means is, if you want to be a part of that ecosystem, and if you want to earn something by seeing that, right now, you know, if we use Chrome, we don't get anything. But if you want to make money out of seeing the ads, you can choose not to. But if you want to make money, you can do that. And the token that runs within the system is the basic attention
token.
So
you get paid in BAT?
Yes.
Okay. So,
and if you want to run an ad, you have to pay in BAT.
Got it.
So as the system scales, the utility of the BAT token also goes up. And that's a demand supply game. If the demand, if there are so many people, like 100 million people using the platform, there would be publishers who would want to, you know, companies would want to run their ads on that network, and they can only pay in basic attention token. And that is where the demand will come from.
Thank you for putting this out on the Ranvi show, because this actually gives a lot of maybe young startups, young entrepreneurs, a nice business model. So say in the 1970s, or 1980s, Dhirubhai Ambani made Reliance public. And he said, I'm going to float shares of Reliance on the share market. You guys put in your money, you will become part owners of this.
Yes.
In sort of a way, you are supporting this company, this Brave browser company, by putting your shares in, by giving your time, earning in BAT.
It's similar to that. Any social network that is out there, you call it Facebook or Twitter, any system can be made in a decentralized manner where there's no need for a company to run it. The use of a company is to manage the data, you know, build the product. All of that can be done in a decentralized manner also, where the community owns the product. People who are using the product are essentially the shareholders in the business. And there are more people coming in that will give more value to the existing people who are using the network.
Got it. So in this case, if startups or businesses are intelligent, everyone can create their own cryptocurrency, which is decentralized, which is based on blockchain technology, because it has that same USP of crypto that, okay, this is blockchain, it's decentralized, it's safe, secure, all that. Just come up with something intelligent like this. So this particular brand, Brave Browser, understood that, okay, we will pay people to see our ads from our clients in BAT. That's a very intelligent business strategy. Turned it into a cryptocurrency. Going forward, if Brave Browser becomes popular, and if more people own BATs, and if people, if the brands are paying them in BATs, BATs will also be listed on platforms like yours, like CoinDCX.
Yes, it is already there.
Okay.
So if you want to invest in it, you can buy 1 rupee worth of BAT or whatever amount you want to invest in.
Got it.
So as this gets more adoption, the value of BAT will increase. And it's not just about BAT. There are various tokens out there which are solving different real world problems.
Like, can you give a few examples?
Like insurance. Now, when you take insurance from a company, you ultimately trust the company who's giving the insurance that if something happens, they will give you the money back. Now, there are protocols that are built where you don't need to trust those companies. The system is designed in a way where if you satisfy these conditions, you will naturally get paid. It's coded. The future, you know, right now what happens, I mean, this is something that I believe in, is that, you know, 50, 100 years back, we used to trust the words. Aapne bol diya, maine maan liya, that is how it happened. But now that is shifting.
What do we trust?
Right. I mean, like right now, it's like agreements. We have so much agreements. Now in the future, code is going to be the law. So for example, right now, what happens is in any service, whenever we take any service from some company, we trust the company that if something happens, they will do this.
Mm.
All of that can be coded. Ethereum allows you to do the flexibility to make smart contracts. For example, if this happens, this is what will happen. It can be, so Ethereum is also called like, you can program money, program the movement of money.
So would you, when you say these things can be coded, matlab you are making a contract in the digital world through code. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. So basically, let's again take the example of that Brave browser. You are selling your time. The computer's recording has Ranveer spent 1 minute of his life watching this particular ad.
Hmm.
The code understands, okay, Ranveer watched it. Now let's reward Ranveer with one back token or whatever.
Hmm.
So this is how the system inside the computer, inside the digital world, is scanning a real world thing like your time and then rewarding you with a digital thing like back.
Based on your activity.
It's like playing, you know, Call of Duty or PUBG, where you play a video game a lot, you do well at that video game, and in the video game, you're rewarded with new things, like new packs.
Yeah.
So in that way, even PUBG could have its own cryptocurrency.
Yes.
Even Call of Duty could have its own cryptocurrency, and then you could use that same cryptocurrency, float it on platforms like yours, which also float things like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and you can purchase a PUBG-based cryptocurrency. Let's think of starting a BOSS-based cryptocurrency. At some point, I will consult with you on that.
Sure.
But what else is out there, bro? Like, what's happening? Are big companies like, say, your Jio's of the world, are Amazon's of the world, do you think that they're looking at this and saying, okay, let's now release a Jio crypto?
I think all the companies, if they want to build loyalty within their communities, they will eventually be shifting to blockchain-based tokens. Mm. If you see internet, right now, if I'm browsing internet, there are servers out there in Singapore, you know, some other country where my data goes to that server and does the computation for me.
Mm.
Now, what is happening is all of these computations can be done in a decentralized manner. And with that happening, there will be thousands of devices in a kilometer radius who will do this computation for me. And this technology, blockchain technology, will make our internet 100,000 times faster.
Mm.
Now you don't have to wait for a long time in order to load a website or download a file.
Mm.
Right? It can be done in a, you know, Ziffy, just because the internet is decentralized.
Mm.
The computation is decentralized. So you don't need a supercomputer. The supercomputer can be made by millions of small, small machines and they will do the computation for you.
Mm.
Now, in order to run the system, you'll have to incentivize these millions of small, small computers.
Mm.
And that is where the token can come into picture, right? That's the incentive structure within that community, right? And it is not like where you are trusting companies like Google or Amazon to store your data. The data is distributed across those millions of computers. Just one example. A few years back, there was an episode of Game of Thrones that was leaked.
Mm-hmm.
If you use blockchain technology and break that episode of 1 hour into millions of parts, the hacker cannot stole those millions of clips. They'll have to hack millions of computers to get the entire episode out.
Beautiful.
That's what blockchain provides you. The data is super secured and it's you know, easy to access. So, I mean, there are several benefits in terms of security, in terms of speed that blockchain provides you.
Bro, I got to talk to you about Bitcoin a lot. I got to talk to you about Bitcoin mining. But before that, I just want to give the listeners some context on the people who invented blockchain. They knew that this problem is coming up, that everything is becoming centralized, like that the Googles of the world, the Facebooks of the world, the Amazons of the world are holding too much power because data is the new oil. They own data of everyone. So someone somewhere must have thought, no, this is not safe for mankind, because right now your stuff is being sold to advertisers. Tomorrow your stuff will be sold maybe for something else, to manipulate you maybe in some ways. So we'll become a slave to these big corporations. That was the logic behind starting something like blockchain. And I'm sure at that point they would have thought, you know, we can put money also and make something called cryptocurrency. So is that the actual history of how blockchain technology came up?
So the blockchain technology, was there from a long time. I think what we need to see, it all started with Bitcoin. So, people didn't know the term blockchain technology earlier.
Can you explain how the internet works versus how blockchain works? Like, what's the difference? The internet, the way I look at it, it's one big digital sphere where things are connected. All the data, everything you do, Facebook, WWE.com, BeerBiceps.com, whatever. All of it is in that big sphere. And blockchain is like this other whole sphere. It's like another universe. Am I correct in saying that?
So let me explain you this way. What internet did to us, right? Internet, with internet, we can transfer information from anywhere in the world to any other place, right? Internet allowed us to transfer information from one point to another.
Bro, one second. When you break down the engineering of the internet, it's actually cables, right? Like the whole world is connected
to
cables.
Yeah, the data, the data.
Matlab, in the Atlantic Ocean, there are actually cables that connect
lying down,
in the ground of the Atlantic Ocean. So we use internet very casually, ki haan chalo abhi internet use karte, porn dekh lete. But actually that data, that porn that you're watching or whatever you're using on the internet is getting transferred from America to Europe to Asia using actual cables. Okay,
that's ultimately it's all the transfer of data. Internet is what? Like transfer of data from one point to another. Data has the information. Internet allowed us to transfer that from one point to another anywhere, and that's the infrastructure that we don't see. Right now, you know, a lot of people, I feel that in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll start using these applications like Brave Browser, but we'll not, you know, because we'll not go that much into detail, like what's happening in the underlying technology, blockchain technology. We'll just use it.
So, bro, again, coming back to that sphere example, like you were explaining something about where blockchain fits into that sphere of the internet. Or is it another sphere itself?
No, it's like, so blockchain people call it as like Web 3.0. So the Web 1.0 was where you browse a website and you get information. Web 2.0 where you can also react to that information. You know, all these social media came into picture and it completely changed things. You can build communities on the internet, right? You could react to what other people are saying. And the Web 3.0 is where you can do all of that in a completely secured manner.
Got it.
Without the need for a centralized party to run and control the system.
So can I give an example of Web 1.0 was a movie. Web 2.0 was a movie where you could take part, like a virtual reality video game. Web 3.0 is where you take part, but you have a mask on. So no one knows that, okay, this is Sumit using this. Everyone has masks on.
Yes, everyone has masks on. So you are protected from the external world. And you can still do whatever you want without any security laws, and you control your data.
Got it. So basically the internet is one big sphere. You're creating this digital universe and blockchain is just like your armor. Correct? Like you're protecting yourself.
Yeah.
Got it. Now, the big question, because we're talking about Bitcoin again, bro. Everyone wants to know about Bitcoin. I am from an engineering college. So are you. And that's why we connect on all these random jokes. And I can talk to you on a deeper level as well. Bro, I have friends who have been into crypto since maybe 3-4 years. And a lot of them talk about Bitcoin mining. What does this even mean? What is a Bitcoin miner? People have barely understood Bitcoin. Hopefully, over the course of these two podcasts, they've understood it. What is Bitcoin mining?
So if you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin works on a proof of work consensus mechanism. Let me break that down into parts. You know, when we talk about blockchain, blockchain is a series of, you know, that's a series of blocks. Every block has data, data within it. Now, how do you add new block to the blockchain? That has to be decided by the network, because right now when we're talking about decentralized world where we don't need bank to control our money, here these communities, these people are controlling it, right? So when you have a new set of transactions, if you want to add that set of transaction to the previous block, that is where mining is required, right? In order to add the new block with the previous blocks. And with that, how you do that is by solving a complex mathematical puzzle, which anyone in the network can do that. If you have higher computation power, you can solve that faster.
You need good machines.
You need good machines.
Good tools. So like a very high quality computer processor or something.
Right now. Earlier, it could be done on mobile phone or on a laptop. But now as the system is getting bigger in size, you need complex machines, right? And with that computation power, just like we do gold mining, you know, you have to put in some efforts to get gold. That's where the value comes from. If we could just get gold out of thin air, the gold would not be that much valuable. Similarly, in Bitcoin, it is a complex, you have to solve that complex mathematical puzzle to add a new block to the previous block. When you add that new block, whatever transactions are there in that block gets added to the blockchain. And the system rewards you with 6.25 Bitcoins.
6.25 Bitcoins.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying that in the same way that countries print more notes, this is the world of Bitcoin, the universe of Bitcoin, printing more Bitcoin, but giving it to you after you've done something.
Some work. Mm. That's why it's called proof of work. You have to do work to get that. And while you are doing this work, the system automatically runs where you don't need a centralized party to grow the system. Mm. So but, what happens is...
But this is fresh Bitcoin. This is fresh Bitcoin. It's never been with anyone before.
This is freshly minted Bitcoins. Mm. And every 4 years, it just drops to half. So, you know, in 2019, you used to get like 12.5 Bitcoins. Right now, at the moment, you'll get 6.25 after 4 years. So this halving, it's called Bitcoin halving, that happened in the May of 2020. Mm. So 4 years after that, you'll get half of 6.25 and it will decrease over time. Mm.
But the value of Bitcoin is going up a lot over time.
So that, see, the supply is going down, the demand is going up. That's why the price is bound to go up.
Got it. So in the same way that Brave browser that you spoke of, their logic was we have a product of a browser. And we will utilize that. They've just thought of something very creative in order to make their cryptocurrency go up. In the same way, whoever created Bitcoin thought of this mechanism. Ki we will create this real-life video game for the coders, for the mathematicians. Ki if you want to earn some of our product, you work towards it. Then when you put it out, we expect that lots of people will start mining Bitcoin. It'll go out into the actual world. And then value will go up. And then we'll keep this game with a smaller and smaller reward.
So Bitcoin holds all the properties of a money. So, you know, whatever money does, whatever gold does, they just follow the same process where you cannot just create artificial supply. So if you look at the white paper, Bitcoin, there cannot be more than 21 million Bitcoins that can ever be mined. Right now, we are sitting at around 18.5, 19 million Bitcoins that are out there in circulation. Right.
So, yeah, and how much do you think it can go up to? Like over the next 5 years, like you said, 18.5, 19.
So by the year 2140, all the Bitcoins will be mined.
Okay. But so, you have time till then.
Yeah. So you have 120 years till then. After that, people will continue to participate in the system by getting the transaction fee. So in every, so if I'm sending Bitcoin to you, there has to be a small fees that is paid to the miner. So Bitcoin miners will get fees from those transactions.
Got it.
So, but the new Bitcoins will stop coming.
Got it. But so you're saying right now, if you're a Bitcoin miner, you have to do a lot of mehnat. You have to learn mathematics. I'm sure you'll have to learn coding. You have to go.
No, it's not like that. So there are a lot of mining pools also. So you just give your computation power, right? Or you just tell them, okay, mine Bitcoin on my behalf. Right now, it's difficult to mine Bitcoin from small machines.
Okay.
But there are solutions which you can use to mine Bitcoin.
When you say mining pool, this is a separate company, like a separate startup.
There are separate startup or communities who combine their computation power to mine Bitcoins. Ultimately, Bitcoin mining is a function of how much computation power you have.
By saying putting computation power together, matlab they will sit in a room, they will put all the computers together. Is it something like that?
So
like they
will... what happens is, if you want to mine Bitcoin, you have to crack the answer of that puzzle,
okay,
right? And it's random. Right. So every computer can create certain number of hit and trials every second. That's called the hash rate.
Okay.
Right. So if you can create more hashes in a second, you can, there's a higher probability that you will be the one who can crack that answer.
So somehow engineer and create a very high quality processor that's extremely fast, maybe by combining the power of multiple computers and their processors. And then you have a chance at doing it. It's like kind of building a very, very big machine gun using many, many, many guns together. And then you have a chance of, okay, if you have a bigger machine gun, you're probably more likely to hit the target. And if the target gets hit, you get 6.25
Bitcoins. You get 6.5 Bitcoins.
Which is worth how much money? One Bitcoin is 35 lakhs.
Yeah, I think more than 2.5 crores.
Oh, nice.
Plus, you will also get the transaction fees.
If someone takes your Bitcoin and...
So if you are the one cracking that code, whatever transaction you've chosen out of that pool... that will be added to the blockchain and you will get the 6.25 Bitcoin plus the fees that people have paid.
Yeah. So imagine, I'll compare again Bitcoin mining to gold mining. You are that miner who has taken out that one piece of gold. Then you take a small bit of that piece of gold out of it and say, okay, I'm going to give it to my mom. And my mom is going to give it to her sister.
Yeah.
So when my mom gives it to her sister, one tiny part of that piece of gold will come back into your hand and you'll be making money forever. So there's a lot of money to be made as a Bitcoin miner, but the difficulty is that you need very high quality processors.
High computation power.
But there are Bitcoin miners out there, like in USA, a lot. Silicon Valley is full of it?
Not particularly in Silicon Valley. There are various countries, colder countries particularly.
UK, why?
A lot
why
of heat
cold?
Is generated.
Okay. that's so crazy.
But the interesting part is this particular energy consumption is far lesser and far cheaper than what is needed to run the current financial systems. If you want to run money, the paper money, it costs billions of dollars every year to the country to run the current systems.
Because again, of like technology and power that you're using.
Yeah, and it is far efficient way to control the, you know, to run a monetary system.
Mm.
Right? It's far cheaper, far more efficient. And it doesn't consume all of the renewable energy is currently going into Bitcoin mining.
Wow. Yeah. What are you saying? So you're saying that like solar power that we are getting from the sun?
Because that's cheap. So people use that energy and preferably colder regions to mine Bitcoins.
Oh man. So you're saying like Finland or Iceland, one of these places will have a lot of Bitcoin miners. Who will sit there or who will harness the energy of the sun to power their computers. It'll take a lot of electricity, a lot of energy that you're getting directly from the sun. And in return, you're probably getting 6.25
Bitcoins. Yeah.
Wow. Sumit bhai, you've blown my brains off of my head. The obvious next question is this. I'm talking to you as an entrepreneur. Because you've run a crypto-based startup, somewhere in your head, are you thinking of going to colder countries and becoming a miner or having a part of CoinDCX have a unit in colder countries?
No, that's not in the plans. There are bigger things to focus on. My biggest focus is on, you know, how can we build and shape up the crypto industry in India? Because that is a highly untapped industry. A lot of progress has been happening outside, but India is like full of opportunities. India has such amazing pool of people. If we can, you know, leverage that, that's where my focus is.
So take us through that game, man. Like, what is that video game like? Like, your life is one big video game. Everyone makes games for themselves, as Ranaval Ravikant says. So you've said that, no, my game is India. And when you say crypto industries in India, what do you even mean? Like, is there actually more startup opportunity there?
Yes. So with blockchain, whatever happens, so there are two parts to it, right? When it comes to crypto as an investment, whatever happens in equity markets, all of that can be replicated in crypto. So there's full world of opportunities there. So if anyone wants to be a part of this ecosystem, they can build all of these solutions. And we as a company are more than happy to invest in them so that they can build that startup up, right? We can't do everything all by ourselves, right? That's where we want to grow the ecosystem, right? Where a lot of new startups from India comes up and build products and services which Indians can use to do better investments.
Right? Again, I just want to give a real world analogy of this. Imagine the time before cars were around. Everything used to be horse carriages.
Yeah.
And someone said that, okay, if you were a horse carriage based company, today I'm going to make a horse carriage which has space for one full family. Today I'm going to make a horse carriage which has space for just one person, a designer horse carriage. And then they thought, okay, this is the ultimate. I've created the ultimate company. Then someone called Henry Ford comes up and says, no, I'm going to make a car. And everyone says, oh, you're crazy. But he said that I'm going to take that whole horse carriage industry and just make cooler, more futuristic cars. Versions of it. And he called it cars. He called it bikes. So you're saying the future cars and bikes of the world are going to be built in the financial system of blockchain, of cryptocurrency. We are just going to replicate existing financial businesses. Anyone from the world of finance who has some kind of inclination towards tech can say, let me combine these two skills, go into the world of blockchain and crypto and create more companies.
Yeah. So anything that happens in the current financial systems can use blockchain and build a decentralized financial system, which is also called DeFi. Right? Because financial system, there are so many problems with the current financial systems. Our banks are still using the old technology, right? The people in the village, they don't have access to credit. They have to pay, you know, 30-35%. Now with this, the whole world will get connected. And it will be very easy to get loans. The whole lending borrowing space will get evolved. And you know, one interesting thing is that in the world of blockchain, blockchain does not distinguish one individual from the other. A bank prefers to serve high-value customers because that's where they get the business from. They might not want to serve a person sitting in a village in Africa. But blockchain technologically does not differentiate these people.
Because it's a robot. It's a robot replacing a human being.
Yes, it's an algorithm, right? And they will not differentiate it. So every person will on the levels playing field. And with blockchain into DeFi, we will have far more evolved financial systems. For example, just to give you an analogy, earlier we used to communicate by papers like, you know, love letters or you know, sending handwritten notes, and then email change everything. Right now in financial world, we are in that zone. Now with DeFi, everything will change. People all over the world will be able to share, lend or borrow with each other, right? They'll be able to create instruments where they can get passive returns. Everything that happens in the current financial systems can be moved in a decentralized manner.
Crazy, crazy, which is very likely going to be the future.
That's already happening. It's already happening.
Sumit bhai, you're a crazy guy, man. Like, I really appreciate you being on the Ranveer show. I back you big time, irrespective of what happens in our country. If you go to Finland and Iceland, I will come and meet you.
Sure. We'll go together.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I love this, bro. Like, oh my God, you've opened up my mind, and I hope that I have taken your voice out there. I hope that it reaches even the Indian government and wherever this podcast is supposed to reach. I'm looking forward to creating more with you in the future, bro. Whatever it is, on the online world, in the offline world, sure, in the blockchain world. So, any last parting message for the listeners who have gone through both these podcasts and are probably just full of thoughts right now?
The way I see this space, it is like, you know, we are 20 years back in the world of internet. This space is full of opportunities. Mm. If you're an entrepreneur, if you are an technologist, if you want to do something, there will be hundreds of opportunities that you can see right in front of your eyes, which can become billion-dollar companies of the future, mm, right? And that is where India regulating crypto will give the chance for these individuals to build these companies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And India, you know, the dream of becoming a $5 trillion economy can be very well achieved, mm, harnessing this technology.
Yeah.
So my message would be for anyone who wants to enter into the field of blockchain and crypto, you know, feel free to learn more about it. Reach out to me. I'm available on the social media channels. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to discuss, brainstorm, and see, you know, what creative thing can be done out of it, right? And because there's a lot of things that India can do, and there's a lot of potential, tons of opportunity. Like, every day I come up with an idea, okay, I want to do this. But, you know, of course, there are very limited things we can do as a company. So every Indian who wants to do something in the field of blockchain and crypto, feel free to jump in. It's the future. Mm. 5-10 years down the line, you will see how obvious it was, right? Mm. And that change is happening right in front of our eyes. It's our time to leverage it and build something creative out of it as a country.
Man, I back you big time, bro. Like, just good luck with everything. God bless you.
Thank you.
And I hope that this crazy educative spree that you're on reaches out to who it has to reach out to. And I'd finally probably end this podcast by saying that, you know, great. Learn about crypto, learn about Bitcoin, learn about investments. But also, India is far behind the world in many things. Let's be that generation that takes India up there.
Yes.
So, and this is one easy path. Like, if there are maybe 5 strings you need to attach to the Indian body and pull it up in the financial world, I do feel crypto will be one of those strings in a big way.
Absolutely.
I think the other strings are content. We can become a hub of content in the world. Hmm. I also feel one of those other strings is artificial intelligence, because yeah, artificial intelligence is a lot about empathy and psychology, understanding right, human beings. And I feel Indians have a capability of doing that as well. Because we have good EQs. We understand each other. Ki bhai hai, behen hai, we get that. So, I don't know what the other two links are. Maybe my other entrepreneur friends would know. I didn't take any Q&As on this one because I know for a fact that we will have Sumit Bhai on this show again, either on this one or the Hindi version of this podcast. God bless you, brother. Good luck with everything. And thank you for being on the Ranveer show.
Thank you.